Some replacement level dudes talking about their home team. Starting a Braves podcast was their daggum dream. They like Nick Markakis, even the long ball. One day they'll have more clout than Ken Rosenthal. Oh, you're listening to that Knockoma Nation podcast show. Oh, Knockoma Nation podcast show.
Hey, it's another episode of the Knockoma Nation podcast show. I'm your host, Ken Hendricks. That's JT Holton.
Another episode?
And that's Josh Brown.
Hello.
Josh, what are you eating?
Those little mini oranges.
Cuties.
Oh, okay. My kids like those. I buy those for my four-year-old.
Brantley loves them.
Mm-hmm.
We sit on the couch, and she sits in my lap, and I eat one, and then I give her one, and then I eat another one, and we watch Looney Tunes together, and that channel, Boomerang, which is the best channel in the world.
Mm-hmm. Guys, speaking of Looney Tunes, how do we feel about the fact that HBO is coming out with a new version of Looney Tunes?
Wait, what is what? Boomerang, and what is the new version of Looney Tunes?
Boomerang is a channel that plays all the old, like, Merry Melodies and Looney Tunes. Mm-hmm. Dude, it's amazing.
It doesn't just play that. It plays, like, old Hanna-Barbera cartoons.
Yep.
It plays, like, all your like, 70s, 80s cartoons, for the most part. Yeah.
It's fantastic. You got, like, Tom and Jerry,
Dog,
Bugs Bunny.
Deputy Dog, McGilla
the
Gorilla.
Good shit. The good shit. See, I've got a theory, and you guys probably think I'm silly, and I'm probably going to end up conforming, and Brinley's probably going to watch this bullshit, but, like, I feel like all the content for like toddlers is weird and stupid. And I feel like for years and years and years, they would just have the same content for kids. And so you just watch it. If you were two, you'd watch the Tom and Jerry, like the 8-year-old, and it was awesome. And that's the way life should be.
Yeah.
And that's what we do.
The only problem with Looney Tunes is that they make fun of people with speech impediments. Like, every character has a speech impediment of some sort. It's kind of funny. If you never noticed it, just take some time. Sometime and figure it out. They either stutter, have a lisp.
Like Elmer Fudd?
Oh, yeah. All of them.
Like Tim Tebow?
Every character. Daffy Ducky, you have a front lisp. So everything talks with the tongue of the teeth.
And then Sylvester the Cat. I don't think they're making fun of people like that, per se.
There's a little bit. That's part of the comedic element of it. But I'm not saying you shouldn't. I'm just saying it does kind of do that. My mom was a speech therapist, so it got pointed out a lot. but we still watched it. I mean, it wasn't like mom was upset about it. She was just pointing out, hey, you know, all those people have speech impediments. That's all, folks. Well, he's a stutterer, you know. That's Porky Pig.
Oh, yeah. Well, now I feel terrible, and I'm never going to watch it again.
You're welcome. Don't believe you for a minute.
I just found the channel, so I know what I'm going to fall asleep to tonight. I'm very excited.
But yeah, HBO is doing a new Looney Tunes with Bugs
That's
and
weird.
Daffy and all this stuff, and it's like
anything new sucks.
This is like actual the previews that I've seen.
Is it gender fluid? Is Bugs Bunny like a
I don't know. I haven't seen it. No. The previews that I've seen, it looks like the old Looney Tunes with, like, maybe a little better imagery, maybe just a little better art. Yeah, I don't know. It's on HBO, so it feels like, you know, the next thing you know, they're going to be having a sex scene between Bugs and,
I'm in.
And Lola. And, yeah.
Now you got me.
Yeah. It's like Game of Bugs. Game of Tunes.
So Wile E. Coyote finally captures the Roadrunner and then rapes him.
Wow.
Dude, Brinley loves the Roadrunner.
Wow, JT.
She proves my theory in that, like, they don't need to watch these weird, like, toddler bullshit stuff. Because Brinley's 11 months years old, and she sits there and she's watching the Roadrunner.
11
months
years.
What?
11 months years old. You said 11 months years old.
Oh, she's 11 months old, and she's watching the Roadrunner, and she can, like, pick up on all the, she knows what's kind of what's going on. I mean, she's 11 months, but, you know.
Brinley's only words are going to be beep, 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 beep.
Like when something blows up, when like when they get the TNT bombs and like they blow each other up or whatever, like she go ha like that.
Her first words gonna be she's gonna hold up a sign that says "F you, Dad," and that's like that's what it's gonna say.
At a certain point, you'd think he would stop shopping with Acme.
You would. You would think yeah. so. Yeah.
She likes anyway. Yosemite Sam.
Yosemite Sam, nice.
I do too.
You're root tootin'.
I tried to show my kids Roger Rabbit because I thought they'd like it, and wow. They were totally bored with it, and that.
It's not
so
a kids
much.
Movie. It's not a kids
well,
movie.
Well, I mean, it's. I mean,
I didn't. It, yeah, I did but, not like. Yeah, that's I, like went, I went watch Roger Rabbit in theaters with my parents when I was like 13, and it was the most awkward thing ever, and I didn't enjoy it. And then I watched it again when I was like 17, and I'm like, this is the greatest movie ever. Because you like, you had to be old enough to like get all the references, or it wasn't a very good cartoon. Like the cartoon part of it wasn't very cartoony. Not in the frame of storytelling, anyway. Anyway.
I guess I should show them Space Jam. I think they'd like Space Jam.
So, it seems we may have survived Corona only to be wiped out by aliens. Did you guys see the official footage released by the United States of aliens? Or at least UFOs?
What?
Yeah. Today, serious footage was released by the Navy of three different UFOs that move at speeds that we've never known vehicles, like aerospace vehicles, to move at. And they were jumping from heights of 100 foot off the ground to 50,000 feet in the air. In
what are you talking about?
Obscenely fast things. Look on Twitter. I guarantee you.
I'm looking now.
Just UFO video. Do that. It was in the Washington Examiner today. ABC News. The Pentagon declassifies three previously leaked top secret U.S. Navy videos of unexplained aerial phenomena and that some believe could show UFOs.
UFOs is trending.
Yeah. CNN has a tweet. ABC has a tweet.
All right. The Pentagon released legit photos of a UFO today, and it's not even trending on Twitter. Somebody said, "That's funny."
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, we survived COVID. Aliens show up on Earth, and it's the least surprising thing that you know any of us have ever seen. It's true. It's the least surprising. Aliens landing on Earth this year would actually not be the wildest thing that happened this year. Wow. Okay, maybe, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Josh, how did you once again get into it with the entirety of Cardinals Twitter?
Oh, yeah. What happened? Oh, yeah. So Sunday morning, you know, there's no sports going on, you guys. And so I wanted to give the people a show. And so Sunday morning, some podcast, like called something prospects or whatever. The night before
is
Saturday
like
night,
Cardinals prospects or something,
something like that. They tweeted some. They were throwing some shade at Ronald Acuna. They showed they tweeted a video of Acuna taking first, talking shit to Flaherty. Flaherty's ignoring Acuna, and they said something to the effect of, the implication was Flaherty's not. Flaherty's ignoring you while you're talking shit for no reason. Well, mm-hmm. He's talking shit because he just got hit with a pitch.
But the video didn't show that. Right. Okay.
Right.
Gotcha.
So this video gets a little traction, and then like I wake up Sunday morning and like some Braves militia groups are already honed in on the enemy. And I get notified because I've got some spies out there that notify me when things like this happen, because I really do get DMs from people. When things like this happen, they want to see me troll. And so I come in and I respond and I go, I say something like, Jack Flaherty.
It's like the Nakahoma Turnspies. Josh has the Nakahoma
really
Turnspies.
I get in there and I'm like, Jack Flaherty started 33 games last year and only won 11. And you guys think he's good, you know, laughing face. And of course they bite. every time. Yeah. And they bite. And so, like,
the cockier the fan base, the harder they bite it's on stat trolling. Yeah.
But what's fascinating about Cardinals fans, and, dude, you can go back to my mentions and see this. This is fascinating. They're easy to troll, so you catch them. It's like catching, like a bunch of crappy during spawning season, you know. Like, so they're so dumb, they just bite, you catch them. And then you tell them you're trolling them, like you try to tell them, and they still don't even understand.
Yeah.
They're still like, you're stupid, you're still using batting average, you're trying to tell them like you're like being sarcastic, you know, and they don't even like, doesn't register. It's fantastic. And then, so it goes on like all day. Last night before I hopped on my new podcast, somebody DM'd me a tweet, a bigger podcast, bigger than this other podcast.
Prospects 365.
Yeah. That's the one. Yeah. They take a screenshot of it and try to own me. And they take a screenshot of like Flaherty, a picture of Flaherty of the tweet. And then like, my tweet, and then like a ref throwing a yellow card, and they're trying to own me, and they're like,
they're trying to like own both of you, right? Like they said both foul on the play, offsetting penalties or something like that. I think.
Yeah, it's fantastic. So, and then they found out pretty quickly I was trolling, and they're like, much respect, man. But yeah, Cardinals fans are really stupid.
I always find it really funny when true stats people like 365, that kind of thing, you know. Guys that are actually kind of like in the industry.
Yeah.
When they laugh at stats, people that take stats too seriously.
Oh yeah. I'll try to find the link. I've saved it. I'll try to find the link and maybe we can share it out. But, 3 or 4 years ago, I think I've talked about this before. There's a podcast done by some guys who literally were the purveyors of war, like some guys that work for Baseball Reference.
Yeah.
And they're saying in this podcast that, guys, it's even we don't even know how it's really calculated. Like, even we know it's just something to kind of work with, guys, you know?
Yeah.
Like, they're the ones that invented it, you know? I don't know where it is. I thought I'd saved it somewhere. Maybe I lost it, but yeah. But to your point, a lot of those guys who are actually like Mike Petrello, right? Those guys who literally do this for a living, they themselves will be like, Nick Markakis is actually really good.
Yeah,
because hitting baseballs, fun fact, it's actually a good thing to.
He's not
to get a hit.
Like, and they're like, you know, basically our stats tell you he's not Mike Trout, but that doesn't make him trash, you know, like
right. You know. Yeah, but then you got people who just think, yeah, it's like politics, really, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because you're not Mike Trout, because you're, and you've talked about this a zillion times, but because you don't have all the production, you're trash. You're just the worst.
Yeah, there's people that I saw this week talking about how the Braves should trade Freddie Freeman before his contract runs out and not sign him to an extension because he won't be worth the money in his 30s. And I'm like,
that's amazing.
You people are stupid. First of all, I don't care if he's worth the money. He's the Atlanta Braves first baseman, and there comes a point where I want him to be the Atlanta Braves first baseman. I don't care if he bats 100, like 120 with zero home runs. He's the Atlanta Braves first baseman. You know,
I would care about that.
If he did that, he would retire. I'm just saying.
You can't talk to these people about life. These are idiots.
We watched Dan Uggla for 3 years as a Brave. Like, come on. Yeah. And I was actually still kind of a fan of Dan Uggla, despite the fact he sucked terribly.
Hey, Dan Uggla, when he came over, man, like that's one of those things. Like, you can't be mad at the Braves. You know what I mean? Like, he was a badass. And then he came over and had eyesight issues that, like, nobody could have predicted. He couldn't have predicted. Nobody knew.
Yeah. I mean, it could be predicted, but yeah.
That's probably why he had a telescope in his apartment. He lived in the penthouse above my mom's office building in Buckhead, and he had a telescope in his apartment.
No.
Focused on the pool. True story. Focused on the pool that was about 10 stories down from him. It's probably because his eyesight was bad, and he just wanted to see who was hanging out at the pool.
He was trying to be a lifeguard.
You're
like,
crazy.
Make sure nobody was drowning.
That's a true story. Huh?
You're correct. You're telling me, hang on, you're telling me that Ugla had a penthouse that you knew about, and he had a telescope in the penthouse, and he would look down on the pool.
That's the story, yes.
As he's listening to this podcast, Jeff Donahue is pulling out the video to send to JT that says, didn't happen. We faked it. Not real. Not a true story.
This came from my mother.
I saved that video when he sent that to me. That
Commander Riker is about to tell you that it's all a deep fake, JT, and that you
Who?
It's
deep fake.
The guy that played that character. He was Riker on Starship Enterprise.
BRB.
That would be Star Trek, the Final Frontier.
No, Next Generation.
Next Generation.
Christopher Frakes. Christopher Frakes.
Yes. That was the one with Picard.
Yes, yes. He was number
and
one.
Data and Geordi LaForge.
Yeah. He was number one. Number one, big, you have the helm. Number one, you have the helm.
The Force is with me, Ken.
And Christopher
Frakes. I know a lot about Star Trek.
And Christopher Frakes had the whole, like, sexual tension thing going on with Diana Troy, the ship's psychology officer or whatever she was. She was a psychic.
I was more of a Deep Space Nine guy myself. Also,
did you really watch Deep Space Nine, or are you just being...
No, I did not. I'm just making that up.
I watched Deep Space Nine.
I was actually a Voyager guy, Ken. No, I don't know anything about it. My mom used to watch Star Trek, and she liked it. I was never... It seems like a lot to get into. It's a lot of movies. There's a heck of a lot of TV shows. So it seems like a lot to jump into at this point.
So Star Trek Next Generation, the good thing about the Star Trek world is for the most part, one series doesn't affect another. So for the most part, you don't have any crossover storylines. There is a book world of Star Trek. You know, the books do have some crossover story, but like TV-wise... Other than simply kind of knowing the general idea of what they were and the general timeline of when they happened, you don't really, there's not like major events that happen in one that really move into the other too much. With the exception of maybe like the Borg, the Borg thing, it was a whole storyline with Next Generation that crossed over a little bit into some other stories. But still, like, it wasn't like, this big event happened in Next Generation and drastically changed the universe so that everything else after relied on you knowing that piece of knowledge.
Okay. I've seen the first couple Star Trek movies.
Star Trek as in old Star Trek or like
old Star, like the original, Star like Trek Star Trek, the motion picture and like the Wrath of Khan.
Okay.
Khan is the most gaily dressed bad guy in the history of bad guys.
That's
like,
true.
He's dressed so womanly, it's hard to take him seriously.
I don't know. It's pretty close to Tim Roth in The Fifth Element. He gets dressed pretty gaily as well.
Oh, I haven't seen The Fifth Element since... I saw it in theaters when I was like 12.
That's not his name. What is the guy's name that plays that? Fifth Element actor. What's his
Bruce
name?
Bruce Willis, Chris Tucker.
Gary Oldman.
Gary Oldman.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. What were we talking about? I don't even remember.
Gary Newman is actually older than Gary Oldman. So that's weird. I have no idea what we're talking about.
I don't either. Is Josh back? Who knows?
No,
Josh just randomly leaves the chat and the conversation, does his own little thing. I guess he's preparing for his new podcast where he doesn't have to put up with us.
I say these things like, I'm not into that nerdy stuff, and then I'll watch like, you know, a WWF Intercontinental title match from 1992 on a random Tuesday. I don't know.
I went down a WWE rabbit hole this last week, and I watched the documentary that covered the Undertaker versus Mick Foley when he threw him off the top of the cage for Hell in the Cell, and then onto the tax. That was a lot of fun.
What are y'all talking about?
Being nerds. we were talking about.
I have gotten into this show called Dark Side of the Ring, which comes on Tuesday nights. And it's basically wrestling meets unsolved mysteries. And it tells like the dark stories about wrestling, like Bruiser Brody being murdered, or Chris Benoit killing his family, and they got one coming out on Owen Hart, you know, falling and dying in the ring, stuff like that. So it's kind of cool. Like, you know, last week's was about the assassination of Dino Bravo, who's a wrestler in the WWF back in the early 90s, who got into the mob and then was killed with like 20 gunshots, you know, sitting in his living room. Yeah. So like crazy stuff like that. So it's, it's wrestling, yes, but it's also more like unsolved murders and stuff like that.
Interesting. When are they going to like prove that it's all real, JT? Like, does that come out in the segment?
Gosh, Ken, it's okay. We know it's predetermined. We know that.
Is it?
Oh yeah. Gosh. But it's still real.
Jeez, I didn't know that. Gosh.
What are you doing?
Freaking nerd. Did you guys, going back, you know, we talked a little bit yesterday. We talked yesterday a little bit about the NBA and our heroes and not being heroes. But if there's one great thing that this Last Dance documentary has done, it has reminded everyone why we all hate the Detroit Pistons.
I never really hated them. I didn't.
What? How did you not hate the Detroit Pistons? Did you just not watch basketball?
Yeah, I did.
What are you trying to show us, Josh?
Yeah,
His baseball cards.
I watched basketball.
The Detroit Pistons were like the dirtiest. Like, I hated them. I hated them in the 90s.
Yeah, I guess I didn't really. I don't know. I watched basketball. I thought I did.
Man, Isaiah and Bill Laimbeer and those guys not shaking Michael's hand when they walked off the court after they beat him in the finals. Or not the finals, I guess. It was the
Eastern Conference Finals.
Eastern Conference Finals.
But I kind of like Detroit because at least they had a template. You know, like they had a style that was them. You know what I mean?
Chuck Daly, underrated greatness.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Underrated. Very underrated. Coach of the Dream Team, 92.
Yeah.
I like Detroit when they got good again back in the mid-2000s. Because it was, you had the prima donna Lakers and then these just guys, you know, collection of five dudes, none of them Hall of Famers, that were all just a very good collection of basketball players.
Unfortunately, Josh has still not seen the second episode yet from this week. So he does not have the background to truly appreciate the hate that Horace Grant had when asked about.
Yeah, I've only seen the Horace Grant
photo oh my God.
On Twitter. I don't know yet. I'm going to watch it.
It's so good. When asked about his thoughts on the Detroit Pistons, he's like, oh, they're just a bunch of little bitches. And that's because they didn't shake his hand.
I love it.
And Michael Jordan. They said, here's a video, Michael, of what Isaiah said about that. And Michael, before he even watches the video, Michael looks at it and says, oh, well, I don't care what Isaiah says about it. You know, it's all a bunch of BS. And except he actually just flat out cusses. And he's like, he's going to lie about it now because he knows what the perception and the fans' perception is. Michael, it's been 30 years and Michael still hates Isaiah. It is so good. I'm like, where is that kind of sports again where people still hate the players from other teams from 30 years ago?
We need that. Like,
we need
all sports needs that. I need
it's beautiful.
I need the Braves to lose to the Nationals and Freddie Freeman post game to be like, screw those guys.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, and then like 30 years later, him still say, screw those guys. You know?
Yeah.
On top of that, so first of all, basketball was so violent back then. It's like, oh my God, it's so watered down now. I would love to see LeBron try to drive the lane against Isaiah Thomas and Bill Laimbeer and all those guys and just get plastered. But anyway, we talked yesterday about were all players like crazy off the court kind of thing, and are they still that way? But secondly, how good has this ESPN documentary been by not being edited? And I don't mean like not bleeping. Yeah. I don't even mean like not bleeping cuss words. I mean like the way they edited it, they didn't make the show clean. Mm-hmm. They told it feels like they're telling what really happened and not prettying it up to be friendly for fans or image sake or any of this. It's just like you get to see Michael Jordan angrily cussing about Isaiah Thomas, you know. That holograph, JT, just holographed back at you. We couldn't see anything.
Do it again. It's an autograph, Patrick Weigel. I just want to show you guys autograph.
What? Patrick Weigel. Oh, my God.
It's going to brag.
This is what happens when we try to have serious conversation. But, guys, let me ask this. Why is it that modern sports seem – where did Josh go? He just left again.
He wants to show me his Ray Patrick Ditter autograph.
Jeez. Josh, put your headphones on. Put your headphones back on. Josh, what? Stop leaving in the middle of a conversation. I know you have baseball cards. You can show them later. Look.
I'm here. What?
This is the question. Why is it that modern sports seem so, I guess, scared? I don't even know that scared's the right term. What is it that keeps modern sports from being willing to show us that real side? Because they showed an interview with Jordan from like 90s or whatever, mm-hmm. and he's like cussing in the interview, and none of that ever made it on TV. Like, it was in the interview room, all the cameras are running, but nobody, none of us ever saw it, not on ESPN, not anywhere.
I mean, this is a long conversation, but a lot of it's culture. This is a very easy answer, and I sound like an old pawpaw, but we really do. And I mean, you've heard this from so many idiot talking heads like myself, but like, we really do live in a really PC culture right now. We just do.
Okay, so we do, but on the other hand, and I'll be honest, Josh, this is one of those moments I'm playing devil's advocate just to talk about the story with you, okay? Like, I don't know where I fall at on it. But you got shows like Game of Thrones that are nudity, 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 nudity. You got more cussing on television than you've ever had before. You've got more vulgarity. And I'm not even saying this is like a criticism. It's just an awareness. There's more vulgarness on TV now than there's ever been before.
It's weird. I don't know the answer.
It feels like our sports are trying to be squeaky clean.
They are.
Because they are,
aren't they? I mean, so you'll agree with me on that.
Does. It's felt so refreshing to watch this documentary and feel like you're not getting a brand story of the NBA. Like, this is the storyline the NBA approved, and we're just going to tell you all the sports-related stuff and not give you any of the rest of the story.
Yeah. You know, it's weird. In a lot of ways, culture, and when I say culture, it's for lack of a better term, it's mainly the left, because the left really, it is Hollywood. It is Game of Thrones. You know what I mean? It is HBO. It's a walking contradiction. To your point, you can watch something like the Game of Thrones. I've never seen it, but I've heard that it's pretty scandalous or whatever. And so many things on Netflix and HBO are obviously, you know, not wholesome.
They're hypersexualized. Yeah. Hypersexualized.
That's a great word for this conversation. Everything is so sexual. And like, it goes back to that Super Bowl performance this year. Almost everybody I know, like my wife included, okay, came out super strong defending these strong women, you know?
Yeah.
And me, I'm like, wait a minute. Like, I Facebooked about it, and I got a little crap for it, because nobody thinks about the 14-year-old boy. They just don't ever, you know? And so I was like, everything is sexualized. It's so terrible. But we want our athletes to be like Jordan Spieth and Clayton Kershaw, and, you know, to y'all's points, if Chipper did, or if Freddie Freeman came out and was like, you know what? No, fuck the Nationals. You know what that would do? He would get destroyed for days. You know, there'd be all these articles. He'd probably be fined. He would be ostracized, you know. Like,
well, no, he would get treated exactly the way that Trevor gets treated. Because Trevor Bauer does that. He just comes out and says, screw the Astros, you bunch of sorry cheaters. You know, like, he just comes out and openly says, I don't like them.
Yeah, you know? He says it in a more, you're right, he does. But I think what JT's saying is, I want a more, like, just a brash, testosterone-driven, just dude, you know, to talk some shit. And that doesn't happen a lot at all.
Yeah, and if it does, it gets watered down and everybody repents.
NASCAR.
Because I'm sorry.
NASCAR, right? Like, I mean, Tony Stewart, you know, he talks some shit. But now,
killed a man.
He killed a man. But now, what's cool now? I like Bubba Wallace. He's my boy. But, like, that's, air quotes, cool right now. That it is cool to be kind and loving and thoughtful and, like, that's cool.
Well, I mean, Bubba caught all kinds of crap because he rage quit in the middle of a race. I know,
but he's a nice guy. And Austin Dillon is a nice guy. All these people, they're just nice guys. It's
except
cool
Kyle
to be
Larson.
A nice guy.
Kyle Larson's apparently not a nice guy, and he got kicked out of NASCAR for saying a dirty word. Yeah.
Well, Freddie's a good example. Freddie came out with an impassioned, emotional reason for why he didn't like the Astros and what they did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, him talking about, you know, Chris Medlin and defending him.
Yeah.
Whereas you got a guy like Trevor Bauer who's just like, you know, screw those guys. You know.
Yeah.
I like the, I don't know, to me it's more of a throwback to the days when you had rivalries like watching The Last Dance, or I watched a good documentary on the on the Red Wings, Detroit Red Wings, and the rivalries they had with the Colorado Avalanche throughout the 90s, where they generally hated each other. You know, like, they literally, who is the, I can't remember the player for the Red Wings, but Claude Lemieux had a cheap shot on one of their guys and injured him severely, and he said, you know, I had to shake that guy's hand, that pisses me right off. You know, like, that kind of, like, anger, like, I hate these guys, you know, like, we don't get that anymore.
I even like it, like, within the own team. Like, Michael Jordan was talking about the triangle offense, and he was working with Doug Collins and different ones, and he's like, we get down and we draw up this play, and Phil's like, yeah, I want you to kick it over here so that what was the forward's name, not Horace Grant, but the other guy, my mind's blanking. Cartwright. Yeah. I want you to kick the ball out to Cartwright, and with 3 seconds left, Cartwright's going to take the shot. And Michael Jordan's like, but I don't want Cartwright taking the shot because Cartwright can't shoot. Like, he said that in the video, and I'm like, that's real. Like, I want that. I want somebody to say that crap. I want Freddie Freeman to say Ronald Acuna should have his butt standing on second base when he hits that ball to the outfield, and nobody take it as anything except
the raw honesty. Yeah.
Except Freeman saying he should have been on second.
This is a great indictment on kind of how soft everybody is. Because I'm with you guys. Like, how great would it be if we lived in this, you know, harder culture when you could just have guys say these things? This is the best indictment I have of how soft everything is. A few months ago, when they interviewed Nick Markakis about the Astros, and he said they should have their asses kicked. That's all he said. If that happened in 1991,
nothing, one would have thought anything about it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But he says that, and Twitter melts. There's all these articles written about it. Like it was this huge deal, and it was just a good example of, like, oh my God, we are so soft that him saying that, these little frail, you know, little vegans just thought that was the most aggressive
thing they've
ever seen
in their
lives.
Well, that's like they don't want you to hit somebody with a baseball anymore because that's barbaric, you know?
Sad. Yeah.
It's sport. It's part of the game. Stop, you know? Yeah. I know somebody is listening to us right now. It's like, no, it's not part of the game. It's part
of the
game.
It's part of the game. It's literally part of the game,
buddies. It has been for forever. If you don't believe me, go ask, you know, any pitcher pre-1999, it's been part of the game.
This one's for JT.
Oh, is that Howard Johnson?
Hojo, baby.
Love me some Hojo.
I love how none of our fans can see what you guys are holding up.
It's one of those things where, like, trash talk used to be an epic part of sports.
Yeah. It still is on the field. That's what's so weird to me is they edit it all out so nobody hears it except for the player.
They don't embrace it anymore. Like, there was a game, Larry Bird is like, as good as Jordan is, Larry Bird might match him from trash talk. Not the player Jordan was. Larry Bird's a top 10 all-time player, but epic trash talker. Larry Bird was amazing. Like there was an all-star game, I think it was like 86, 87, and he stood there in the locker room before they went out for the three-point contest, and someone said, "What are you looking at?" And he said, "I'm just trying to figure out who's going to finish in second." and then went out there and smoked everybody. He told, is it a game Christmas Eve or like 2 days before Christmas, they played, golly, who was it? Chuck Person was on the team. I can't remember who it was. But Larry Bird pregame told Chuck Person he got him a Christmas gift this year. And like fourth quarter, they're down like by 2 points, like a minute left. And Bird sinks a three-pointer, runs back. Chuck Person's sitting on the bench. He looks at him and says, "Merry fucking Christmas."
Yeah.
Like you know, stuff like that where you're just like, golly. Like, I know that stuff still happens, but people shy away from embracing that aspect of the game.
And when it does happen, people lose their shit. Madison Bumgarner and Puig, right? People... That was a beautiful example of some – that was some 80-grade shit talking going on.
Yeah.
And obviously Puig flipped it on its side and made the funny shirt. It was brilliant. But when that was happening, the narrative, dude, not just your Stephen Tolbert dorks on Twitter with, you know, three followers, but like your national writers, your fucking John Haymans and your Buster Olney's were writing about that, like, how dare, you know, people, you know, just be disrespectful. And just mean, and these are professionals, you know, these people are a bunch of pussies, and they don't deserve to write about our beloved sport. That's what I think.
Yeah, quit being dorks about it. Max Muncy telling Madison Bumgarner to go get his ball out of the water.
Oh, it's the man.
Yeah. Oh my God, that's awesome.
God bless America. Yes.
Yeah. And Madison Bumgarner beaning him is also awesome. Like all of that is awesome.
Just tonight, you were talking about. The Braves, they're showing the 95 World Series. How about Tom Glavine coming back to the dugout and say, "Someone get me a run," because they sure as hell aren't getting one.
Right.
God bless America.
Like having that kind of
here's the thing. It's easy for us to be a little nostalgic about it, but we didn't hear that as kids either. No one in America knew what Michael Jordan said except for like three people when they won the championship or won game five. It actually wasn't the championship. It was the year before they won the championship. And he jumped up in the air and punched his fist. And, like, they clarified that but what he said was, "All you doubting M&Fers, go home, mother effers, go home. You know, go home, M&Fers, go home." And he was telling everybody that doubted him to go home. Like, that's awesome when it's in the moment and, like, not contrived. And, like I don't want you to come up with a bunch of vulgarity just to make me interested. But if that's really what he said in the heat of the moment, I want to hear it. You know, like I want to be a part of that side of the realness of the story. You know,
is a part of it because with free agency and transactions being the way they are these days, that you don't grow to hate another team because that team changes so much from a year to year basis.
Maybe.
You know what I mean? Like the Bulls and the Pistons hated each other because it was the same guys.
Every year, yeah.
It was the same group of dudes, you know? And that was the way it was, where you would have a majority of the team would be the same kind of dudes. That you don't have that same... I mean, even as a fan, I don't have the same hatred for the group of guys on the team. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm never going to cheer for the Mets, but I don't hate the Mets. Like, I don't, you know what I mean? But I remember being a kid, like, those early 90s Philly teams.
Oh, yeah.
I hated them. I hated those guys. I hated all of them.
Hated Ryan Howard. Oh, my God. And Chase Utley.
Yeah, back then, yeah.
Oh, I hated Chase Utley because he was always going to get a hit right when you didn't want him to.
And then years later, I loved him.
I mean, I like him now, yeah.
But. Early 90s, like, I'm looking at the Phillies, like, Pete Incaviglia, John Kruk, Darren Dalton, rest in peace. All those guys, like, they were just nasty.
I still don't like John Kruk.
Oh, yeah. Well, I kind of like him now, but...
I like his media personality, but I don't like John Kruk. Like, I hated him.
Dude, I remember watching 93 postseason Braves-Phillies, okay? That's the year I think the Phillies went to the World Series. They beat us, I think, in the pennant.
In LCS.
Yeah. So I think I've mentioned this in the podcast. I remember watching those games. I'm in Marietta, Georgia. I'm watching the local Atlanta Braves feed, you know. And I remember our announcers, you know, in our local media, they wanted us kids to know how dirty and terrible the Phillies were, you know.
Oh yeah.
And I just remember, like, at the end of an inning, when the Phillies would leave the field, they would zoom in on, like, Lenny Dykstra's giant wad of tobacco in center field. And they just wanted us to know that these were the worst people in the world.
Hey, how many of you still like Kent Herbeck?
Yeah, I hate him. Hope he dies.
Always will. Because players were very overt about, I hate that guy. Ron Gant was very overt. You're a cheater, you know? But then you hear stories like, we're always shocked when we hear stories about Maddox peeing on Chipper, or Maddox telling him when he ran him over, calm the F down, you MNFing rookie. You know, all that kind of stuff. And we're kind of like, there's a little bit of shock value to it. And I'm like, God, how good would that story have been to have heard it at that time? You know, I don't know. Yeah. Like, there's a part of me that wishes they would just cut out all the filter, and I don't want my little kids to have to listen to it. I like having alternate, you know, I mean, I don't want my daughters to have to hear that necessarily, but at the same time, like, there's a realness to sport, and I'm okay with people as long as it's authentic and not contrived. I'm just going to be vulgar for the sake of being vulgar. You know?
I think in baseball, especially, there has been this nerdy takeover ever since Moneyball kind of started it, and it's become this thing where people try to take the human element so far out of baseball to where it's just numbers, and it's taken to where you don't even think of baseball as a hard-ass game played by dudes who are just rough and rugged. Yep. You think of baseball now more as like kind of this, I don't know, almost kind of a counterculture sport. Like, it's become almost a nerdy thing to be into baseball and to be, like, there's a part of me that hates, there's this thing about baseball where if a guy goes down with injury and he plays for a rival team, these people go out and they'll tweet, you know, I hate it for the guy, blah, 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 because I really want to watch him play because he's good. He's a good player, right? Like, picture Jacob DeGrom, okay? If something happens to Jacob DeGrom, there's a segment of Braves Twitter that will go out there and say, oh, that's terrible to hear because I love watching Jacob DeGrom pitch. And there's a part of me that goes, dude, Jacob DeGrom plays for the Mets. Screw Jacob DeGrom. Yeah. I don't like watching him pitch at all. Yes, he's really good, but he plays for the fucking Mets. Like, I hate the Mets. Like, I don't want to cheer for him at all. Like, I'm not going to acknowledge he's good, like, years after he's retired. I'm not going to, you know what I mean? Like, I hate the Mets. I want to beat the Mets 18 times a year. I don't want to, like, acknowledge it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. It's kind of this thing where football is still there for the most part because football is a more primal, physical contact sport. I think people try to pretend baseball isn't a contact sport with a lot of bad attitudes and a lot of bad feelings. And it is. It really still is that way. It's not really changed for the most part. That's when you see things like Acuna and Flaherty getting into it, or the whole Jose Urena thing that went on seemingly forever. I mean, that's part of baseball. And that's part of baseball that I love is like seeing these guys get mad and get angry and hate other guys. Like, I like
it's
that.
Not just baseball though. It's like all of life has gotten to where we put on this facade that we're sweet and nice. And we never tell people actually what we think because we're afraid of hurting their feelings. You know, I mean, look at politics. Like, everybody wants Donald Trump to play nice and to not say bad, mean things on Twitter about someone. And I'm like, it's politics. Why are you people so uptight about it? Let him say whatever the crap he wants to. You say all the crap you want to about Donald Trump. Why are you mad when he says something about somebody else? You know,
I don't know another word, Kenny. And I know it's a dirty word, and I don't use it lightly, but these people are pussies. I mean, really, there are so many people that, I've seen when it was last May, we were actually in the hospital getting ready to, you know, for Brindley to show up, and the Braves and the Marlins had that thing going on with hitting each other or whatever. And I just remember seeing Jason Foster, and I like Jason. Jason's a buddy of mine. He writes for the Sporting News, and he was that guy. He was that guy, and he was tweeting about it like, imagine hitting someone and letting that other team get to first base. You know, like that's how they talk about it, you know, and it's not just him. It's like this thing. It's like, it makes me want to take our sport back. You know what I mean? Like, shut the hell up, you pussies.
Like, I understand why you say that, but like, there's a part of me that digs deeper, and I don't think they are.
You don't think they are what?
I don't think they're pussies. And the reason for that is this. They have zero problem mob mentality calling someone out on Twitter and blowing your crap up with their opinion. Like, yeah. They're not scared. And that's what that implies.
I know what you mean, like, yeah.
It's like we've created a generation, though, that's so focused on not offending anyone because that somehow makes us less human. But the truth is, I think this is what it all comes down to. We've made offense our responsibility. So, like, somewhere along the line, we decided that if I make Josh mad, that it's my fault Josh is mad.
Yeah, it's Bert Kreischer's opening joke in his new special, you know?
You got to fill in the blank. I don't know.
People getting offended on other people's behalf.
Oh, yeah. Right, exactly.
The Starbucks bit, yeah.
Yeah, I got you. And so, but offense is something that happens in you. If you're offended by something I said, the offense is not in me, it's in you. Now, I might be a terrible person. Like, maybe I am. But the offense is in you, it's not in me. Mm-hmm. Like, you're the one with the problem with it, not me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Jason, it might have been Jason, it might have been somebody else that was saying something like, imagine throwing a ball at somebody where you could potentially injure that person.
Oh, that was Jason.
Because of a grudge. Yeah, and I'm like, dude, have you seen baseball before?
And
like,
Ben Lindbergh.
People intentionally hit people all the time.
Yes.
It's part of the game.
Right.
Have you watched football where the whole point is to intentionally try to injure someone else?
I don't know if they have. And then Ben Lindbergh that week, I haven't listened to it, honestly, since I used to listen to the Ringer podcast or the Fangraphs podcast, and Ben Lindbergh was talking about it. He actually said it should be assault. He said it's technically it's assault. It should be considered assault. If you beam a batter, like, you should be charged.
What happened was we let all the kids that got their butts beat up as little nerds in school, we gave them power somewhere to create a podcast so that they could tell everyone
because these guys have never played ball before. I guarantee
to be beat up. And the truth is, it does suck to be beat up. Like, I'm not saying it doesn't, but there's also something to be said for being the guy that can beat somebody up. And nature's always kind of, you know, liked those guys. I'm not saying everybody should be that way. I'm saying in sports, the whole point is to find out who has the most testosterone and is good at this sport, and that means he should beat up the other person. You know, I don't know.
It's a war on. It's a war on testosterone.
You're good at putting like phrases to it, and maybe it is those things. I think it's super complex, and I get confused by it because it's also a crutch because we have no problem in politics piling on Brett Kavanaugh's Supreme Court because someone makes a claim that he did something inappropriate with a woman. Mm-hmm. But a very identical claim comes out about Joe Biden and no one asked him a question about it in the media whatsoever. And all the people that were mad about Brett Kavanaugh don't say a word about it. And I'm not trying to even be political here. I'm using this as an example of, I think sports is the same way. Like it's something we use to beat people up with that we disagree with. So we judge their action as not being morally superior. And I think moral superiority is a load of crap anyway. So just, you know, your moral superiority means absolutely nothing to me. We all suck. We all suck.
Well, I just wish that teams hated each other so much that they would go back and do what the Pistons did and, like, refuse to shake hands because they're that upset that we lost.
I love that.
Not just that we lost, but we lost to these guys.
Yeah.
You know?
And that Michael Jordan, 30 years later, is still mad about that. And that they didn't invite Isaiah Thomas to be on the Dream Team because of that crap. Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, I hadn't seen this part. That's awesome. I hadn't seen this part.
That's awesome. I love it.
Wow.
I love it. Hey, you've been listening to the Knock Home Nation podcast show. I'm Ken Hendricks. That's JT Holton. That's Josh Brown. If you'd like to support the show so that we can talk about more ridiculous things like, you know, people being pussies or not, and the more ridiculous things like how players should fight each other more often, or, you know, simple stuff like country music, then you can support the show by visiting patreon.com/knockhomination. Three different levels of patron tiers. Join the nation. Be a supporter. We appreciate it. JT, what you got for us?
Look, it's a. I have an autographed Max Fried card. Look, Max Fried. Look at that.
That's incredible. Look at that. That's so incredible.
Isn't that incredible? Hey. He's left-handed. He's Jewish, and he signed this card.
That's so hot. Wow. Hottest, yeah, hottest cool. Jew in baseball for sure.
Did you interview him, Stacey, to get that signed? I mean,
JP? Hottest Jew since Sandy Koufax. Sandy Koufax was a smoke show.
Smoke Paul Goldschmidt's not bad.
Yeah, dude, compared to Max Fried and Sandy Koufax was a smoke show.
Hank Greenberg was a.
Hank Greenberg was a looker, but yeah. Sandy Koufax and his you talking about, dude. 1964 Sandy Koufax model caliber.
Was he pitching in 64? I have no idea.
Dude, come on now. Also, I wanted to give a shout out to all our fellow husbands out there this week as the economy's opening back up. Because my heart goes out of it because here in North Carolina, we still have the stay at home order. So my wife can't leave and go to TJ Maxx and all that stuff and buy the candles, but anyways, you guys down in Georgia, be careful down there as your wives.
As a man in Georgia, I am going to abstain from this conversation so that I do not get in trouble.
My wife can leave. She went to the park today. Took both my sons to the park. And Sandy Koufax, good looking man. What a fine looking Jew. She has been shopping even more so on Amazon. Guys, she bought me some Sophie running shorts because I'm going to start jogging. Fellas, 3.5-inch inseams on these bad boys. You're going to see a lot of my thighs in a bit, just so you guys know.
Oh, wow.
My legs are going to be nice and tan for the summer. It's going to look good.
Yeah. Wow, 3.5-inch.
Well, I'm thankful that I've got a Democrat governor up here in North Carolina, Roy Cooper. I'm just thankful that he's keeping everybody home and he hadn't opened the economy back up. Hopefully he's never going to do it because I tell you what, man. Once that TJ Maxx is open, Nikki is there all day coming back with all the candles and all the pillows and Lord knows what else. And next to that TJ Maxx, there's a Home Goods, which is like worse
That's
than
like
TJ Maxx.
That's like crack for women. That's yes! like crack for young mothers especially.
Right. Yeah. So she goes, dude, it's over. It's over. And I'm like, I'm just so thankful to have a very thoughtful and selfless governor who wants to just keep these businesses under and you know, ruin the economy. Like, I'm thankful for that personally.
Josh, so. At least if the economy ruins, you can go out behind your house up on the hill and you can hunt for some sang and you can plant some pot. Just saying.
Yes.
Do you know where the sang is? Do you know how to find the sang up there? I figure it's worth
maybe.
A lot of- I figure it's worth a lot of money, and you've been so
on
the side.
I might know a thing or two about singing and morel hunting.
Oh, wow. Wow. I'm not familiar with that one, so we're going to leave it at that.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
The best shrooms in the land.
Oh, gotcha. Gotcha, gotcha, gotcha. Well, fellas, it's been another Knock Home Nation podcast show. JT is holding up
yet
another card.
Why is JT showing us his baseball cards?
Lucas Sims.
It's like doing a podcast with a 2-year-old over here.
You've been doing it literally the entire time with your backwards hat.
What are you talking about?
You're looking like, you get your hat backwards like you're like Jonathan Lipnicki.
JT's a real bud. I mean, Josh is a real bud. That's That's all it is.
What?
We're all best buds.
Oh, man.
In it together.
Well, it's been an honor, guys. Next week's my last week until I join the new podcast, and I just, you guys are fantastic. So.
Did they say when my invite was coming? I'd love to join.
No, they did not. I don't think they're interested. They didn't even mention you at all. So, yeah.
I'm sure that was just oversight.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to the nation's leading replacement level podcast. Nakahoma Nation is brought to you by Nakahoma Nation patrons. To become a patron, visit patreon.com/Nakahoma Nation. For new episodes and content, visit NakahomaNation.com. Find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at NakahomaNTN. Special thanks to Research Assistant Braves Options Guy and Spiritual Advisor John D. Howard. See you next week, knuckleheads.